Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, if you'll stand with me. If you take your Bibles and stand and go to 1 Timothy, please. First Timothy chapter 6. Praise God. I just hope you'll be patient with me this evening. I'm probably not going to be that 100-mile-an-hour preacher this evening. Amen. I believe God's got something to say to us. Amen. Praise God. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I want to begin at verse 11. 1 Timothy 6 and 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You say amen to God's words.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. In verse 11, Timothy is instructed to flee many things. Paul refers to him here and calls him a man of God. A man of God. This is Timothy, a young man in the faith, a man who is beginning, I believe, in the ministry. Paul gives him some instructions here, some things that he needs to do, and he refers to him as a man of God, which is a familiar title of the Old Testament, dealing a lot with the prophets. The Old Testament calls him a lot of times the men of God, or man of God. But also in the New Testament, there's times that this phrase is used, a man of God, and it's a general reference of those who are applying or living their faith in Christ Jesus. If you go over with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17, if you'll notice there, he says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Here in the New Testament, I believe it's referring to us the man of God. I believe he's referring to us mankind. It's not just men that need to be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works, but it's mankind. I believe that deals with women, those who are applying themselves to God and giving themselves to Jesus Christ. In verse 16, he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I believe all of us need to be thoroughly furnished to all good works. I believe we all need to be able to give an answer to every man that asks us. Not just men. I believe men themselves need to be the forefront. But I believe women need to know why they believe what they are living also. And why they are dressing the way they do. And why they do the things that they do in holiness standards. So when he talks about here of mankind, I believe it's applying to all those who are faithful in Christ Jesus. When you talk about man being a man of God, it signifies a man or mankind who belongs to God. As a person who has given themselves to God. He belongs to God. He has surrendered himself to God completely. He also is a person who is dedicated to God. He has given himself completely to God. He has dedicated his life to God. You can't be a man of God if you are not completely surrendered to God. If you're only a partial, if I could put it that way, serving God. If you're not completely dedicated to God, you're not a man of God. You can call yourself that all you want to. People can refer you to you as that all they want to. But if you are not completely belonging to God and dedicating yourself to God, you're not a man of God. And also it's one who lives for God's glory. Who lives to please and God to get the glory in their life. These are true men of God. Mankind who want to please God. And 1 Corinthians, if you'd like to go over there. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 31, some familiar passage. He says, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I believe if you're going to be a man of God, you're going to do all you can. Everything you do is going to be to the glory of God. It's going to be that you are glorifying God in everything you do. How could you be a man of God if you're not glorifying God in your life? It's impossible. You cannot be that man of God. But those who want to glorify God in everything they do, whether it's eating or drinking or whatever they are doing in their life, out in the world, in the sense of their everyday routines and things they do, they're wanting to glorify God in all that they do. You can be a man of God then. You can be a person of God then. And this is what Paul, he calls Timothy and tells him, oh man of God. Then he gives him some instructions and he tells him, flee these things. I didn't read the passages, but if you go on up in several verses up to verse 6 and on up into that area, he talks about godliness with contentment. It's great gain, but we brought nothing into this world and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And he talks about here and having food and raiment. Let us be content with these things. And he's going to deal with Timothy about riches and a wealth of this world and how it's going to bring, how it can be a temptation. It can be a snare. It can be a trap. It can be something that will cause you to go astray, the riches of this world. And Paul tells Timothy, he says, you need to flee these things. Don't let these things get a hold of you. Timothy is a young minister starting out in the ministry. He is in a wealthy city where there's a lot of gold and a lot of things in that city. And he has to be careful. Timothy, be careful that these things don't get a hold of you that causes you to fall into a trap, a snare, and stops you from preaching the truth. If you'll notice in verse 17... 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, he says, charge them. He's telling Timothy, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So apparently there has to be some wealthy people, some riches in this city, because Paul tells them, Timothy, tell them, you charge them that are rich in this world. Those are in this city that are rich. You need to tell them not to be high-minded. Not to put their trust in uncertain riches. Of things that could fade away. This riches that could fall by the wayside. So I believe this is a good warning that Paul is giving to Timothy and letting him know. You're starting out in the ministry. You need to be careful, Timothy. Do not get caught up in the wealth of this world. How many ministers have, church, have gotten caught up in the wealth and the riches of this world? Even you can look, you know, of men of years ago that preached the gospel, preached it straight, preached it with anointing. God gave them signs and wonders. Miracles took place. And then they began to become famous. People started to come and crowds started to come and the money started rolling in and they started to change their message and a lot of them ended up on TV and TBN and had to change their message. They got caught up in those riches and they left the truth. One I'm really familiar with is I saw him, I believe he's dead now, but saw him several years ago on TBN. Just caught him somewhere on there, and was Shambach. I can't remember his first his initials, but R.W. Shambach. And years ago, man, when he had the tent, would go around and preach the gospel message, preach it straight, preach the truth. And God gave him signs and wonders. Then next thing I know, at the end of his days, I saw him hugging up with those guys on TBN. I thought, man, this is terrible. This is a sad situation, you know, that he has done exactly what was warned to Timothy. Do not let this happen to you. And there's a lot of people I can name, you can name, just a list of men who have preached the gospel message. And then the church grew and God blessed them and finances came in. And next thing you know, they're compromised their message to keep the crowd. They've compromised their message to keep people coming. And they've fallen into this snare that Timothy was warned of.
Hallelujah.
Now, Paul, he calls Timothy, he tells him, he says, you're a man of God. He gives him a solid warning here. Do not get caught up. Flee these things. Don't let them become a snare. Now, I believe that he was going to warn. I believe Timothy, I believe he was a great man of God. And I believe if the apostle was going to warn this man, how much more of a warning we need, church. Don't get caught up. You say, well, we're not wealthy, we're not rich. I understand that. But you can still put your trust in those things. He may not have a lot. He may not have a lot in the bank. Your savings account may be small. But you can put your trust in that. And a lot of Christians are doing that. When that starts going down, they start to panic. What are we going to do? And they begin to panic. And what is happening is they have put their trust in those riches. Now, I'm not going to tell you can't have a savings account and things like that. I used to have one before I got married and started a family. I'm not going to tell you can't have it. But I'm going to tell you, whatever it is, however big it is, you better let God own it. God better have control of it. I'm not telling you can't have a little egg nest or whatever they call a little nest set up there laid aside. I'm not going to tell you that. But God better own that. God better be in control of that. And if God speaks to you and tells you, you give all of it to this, or you support this missionary, or you give it to this work, or whatever, God better be in control of it. And if he's not, you're no different than these ministers on TV who preached the truth at one time, but then got caught up in the riches and became famous on TV because they didn't flee those riches, as Timothy was instructed. You need to be careful what you put your trust in. Because it's uncertain riches, the Scripture calls it. It's something that could be here today and gone tomorrow. A lot of men have seen that happen. So just let God be in control of it. Let God, say, I'm saving this for my retirement. I'm saving this for that. That's fine. Just let God be in control of it. That's all I'm going to instruct you. You say, well, I'm saving this for inheritance for my children. That's fine if God lets you do that. But let God be in control of it.
Preach, brother. Preach. Come on.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I'd be careful what you say, left it, who you left it to. Now, this may sound a little mean. It's just my talking. You can take it or leave it. But I'm telling you, if my kids were flat out just sinners, didn't have no desire to serve God, I don't believe I could leave them anything. Why would I want to leave them something so they could go out and buy something worldly? A flat screen TV or have more beer in the refrigerator or stuff like that. And I stand before God. And I had all this. And God said, you left it for carnality.
Yeah, come on. That's exactly right.
I couldn't do that. Now don't get mad at me. Just think about it. Just think about it. That's all. Just think about it. You stand before God. And you had all that. And God says, why didn't you use it for my kingdom? Why didn't you use it for my glory? These are ways we can get caught up in these snares of riches. And we got to be careful, church. Praise God. Now, right now, I ain't got to worry about leaving them anything. So there's a bunch of bills and debt, so that's all right. But your situation may be different. Praise God. I told my parents when my dad was dying, my mother, I said, before when they retire, I said, go spend it all. Use it. I didn't want my ungodly sister-in-law to get a dime of it. He said, that's mean. That's just the way I felt. But it had been a waste. Let me move on before I get somebody mad. Amen. Praise God. But this was a warning He was giving. Don't get quiet on me. All right, we're still okay. Amen. God still loves us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. This is what God's laid on my heart. Amen. To share with you. Don't put your trust in these things. Don't put your trust in these things. I'm not saying it's wrong to have them, but don't trust in them. Amen. Praise God. Don't put your trust in them. And He tells Timothy, He says, flee these things. Flee these things. And He doesn't just leave them in the dark about fleeing them. He tells them something to follow then. He tells them what you need to do is you need to flee these things of riches. And you need to follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. These are something that you need to follow after. These are true riches, Timothy, that you need to follow after. These are things that are going to help you here on this earth. They're going to help you for eternity, amen. People can't take their riches with them, but this is something that's going to help you through eternity if you will follow after these things. And He gives them six things here for him to follow after. And it's amazing to me that where he's kind of paired them up in twos. He talks about in the scripture, he talks about righteousness and godliness. I feel like to me those two things go together. We'll be sharing some more on that. Then he talks about faith and love. I believe these two things kind of go together. And then he talks about patience. And meekness. And I believe these two things go together also. They all work together, but I believe it's just kind of in pairs here and what He gives to us. And He talks about righteousness and godliness, which is, to me, it's just a general conformity to the law of God in relation to our duties to mankind, to God and to mankind. Everything we do, it needs to be in righteousness and in godliness. And that's our duty to God and to mankind. That we live godly and that we live righteous. Go over into Titus, if you want to jump over there with me, to Titus chapter 2. Notice verse 12, he talks about, he says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Notice that righteously and godly in this present world. This is how we are to live. And I believe that's our duty to God and to man, that we live righteously and that we live godly.
Amen.
We fulfill His law in those things. He talks about godliness, which I believe includes a holiness of hearts and also a holiness of life. And I believe first it's got to be a holiness of hearts. It's got to be in the heart first that you want to live holy, that you want to live godly in this present world. And it's got to be in the hearts. And we, from this pulpit, a lot has been shared a lot on that. It has to come from the heart. And then you got to have the holiness of life. A lot of times we are getting it backwards. We're trying to do the holiness of life so it can get into the heart. But it doesn't work that way. It's got to be in the heart. It has to be in the heart first. If you're not living holy or godly from the heart, I'm telling you, you're living a hypocrite life. You can put the long things on. But if it's not coming from the heart, you're playing the role of a hypocrite. Amen. And I believe that this is what Timothy was instructed. Timothy, you've got to live righteous and you've got to live godly in this present world. In this time, flee the riches. Follow after these things, Timothy. Righteousness and godliness. Live it from the heart. And it'll come on the outward. Amen. Then he goes right into faith and love. I believe these two go together. Faith and love. Faith and love, I believe, is a foundation of the gospel message. It's faith. I mean, if you don't have faith, you don't have nothing to build on. If you don't have faith, you don't have salvation. If you don't have faith, you don't have sanctification. You don't have being Spirit-filled. If you don't have faith, I believe faith in love is the very foundation of this gospel message. That's something you got to build on.
That's right. Amen.
And if you don't have faith, you don't have nothing to build on. You're like building a house on sinking sand. You don't have anything. So you got to have this faith and this love, he tells us. Faith, I believe, is the instrument. I believe is what it takes, church, to for our justification, for our salvation. It has to come from faith. You've got to believe. You've got to accept these things by faith that you're saved.
Yeah, that's right.
You just can't some pastor or somebody tell you you're saved.
Come on, brother.
No. You've got to repent and believe.
Amen.
It's faith.
Right.
You got to accept it by faith. So I believe that's the very basics. It's faith. And I believe it's the roots and principle of a Christian life is faith.
Right.
Everything we do in faith.
Right.
Everything. I get up here and preach. I have to come up here in faith. God, you're going to give me the strength. You're going to help me. You're going to touch me. You're going to give me a message to preach to the people. You got to get up here in faith. When we've been praying and stuff, you got to pray in faith. It's the very principle of the Christian life. It's faith. You got to give in faith. You got to witness in faith. Everything you do is in faith, church. And then Paul tells him, this is something you've got to have, Timothy, is you've got to have faith, and you also have to have love. Faith and love. I believe love is just the immediate effect of faith. You get saved. You believe it. And that love of Christ just floods your soul. Love comes in. Because He first loved us. And then you have that love for Him. And you want that love just to flow in you. And I believe it's just an immediate effect of faith. First comes the faith, and then this love comes flooding in. Galatians, if you'll turn over there. Notice in Galatians chapter 5. Praise God. Verse 6. It says, for Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Faith which worketh by love. Amen. I believe God. I love God. And I have faith in God. How can I have faith in God if I don't love God? How can you do that? You can't. How can I come before God in prayer and put my petition out before Him if I don't love Him? You say, well, I've got faith. You better have love. You better love Him. You ain't going to have no faith if you don't.
Amen.
So He tells them, I believe these two things go together. Timothy, you need to have faith, and you need to have love. And this walk, this work you're going to do, this ministry, this is something you got to have. And also, I believe love brings us to a obedience to God. You keep His commandments because you love Him. You don't want to displease Him. I believe, at camp meeting. I believe it was at camp meeting. It, talking about we didn't want to displease our Father because we loved Him.
Yeah.
Our Heavenly Father, we didn't want to do wrong to Him because we loved our Father. And we knew if we did this, it would not please Him. So I believe when you have a true love for God, it's going to bring a real obedience to God.
Yeah.
And it also will bring a compassion for the lost and those who are out there in sin. And you'll want to see them be saved and set free from this bondage because you've got this love burning in your heart. Amen. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 says, owe no man anything but to love one another. Amen. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. This is something He's commanding us to do. If you want to burn for the lost, you're going to have love in your heart.
Amen. Hallelujah.
If you don't have love burning in your heart for God, you're not going to carry that burden that Christ had for the lost. Because your love's not there. And because you have that love burning in your heart, you will have a compassion for the lost.
Amen.
And you'll be willing to pray.
Amen.
Seek God for the lost and the dying and sin, that they'll be set free. So again, these two go together, faith and love. And then also, he talks about patience and meekness. Believe that this is something that's two principles, I believe, which also go together, which I believe they have to operate together in the presence of mankind. I believe you've got to have patience with mankind. You want to have patience with people. You want to have patience with me, I've got to have patience with you. We're going to have patience with those out there in the world. Some people are not going to understand it as fast as others. Some people are not going to comprehend it as quick as others. Some are not going to grow as fast as others. And we're going to have that patience. And we're going to have that this meekness. This gentleness. With each other. Because everybody's not going to do exactly the way you think they ought to do. Or as fast as you think they ought to do it. Now I know many times as a minister we get up here and we preach. And we wonder, why aren't they getting this? God, you burn this in our hearts. And Christ had that with His disciples even. He said, how long? How long am I going to be with you? I'm talking about the leaven with the Pharisees, and you still got your minds on fish and loaves and bread. How long? He had to be patient. He had to show meekness and gentleness with them. There was times he had to, if I can just put it this way, he had to beat it on top of their head sometimes. Sometimes it just takes that with people. You just got to lower the hammer.
Yeah.
Give it to them.
Yeah.
And then a light bulb will come on. Oh, yeah. I know what you mean. That's right. Sometimes you got to do that. Sometimes you got to handle people's gloves and be so gentle with them. Sometimes you got to do that. And maybe sometimes that's hard for a minister to do when he's got a mixed congregation. Amen? Because you got some, you got to hit them with the hammer on with it. Some you got to give to them. A little gentle there. A little piece at a time. So sometimes we do fail in those areas. But God will help us. And we'll be patient.
Amen.
We'll be meek.
Amen.
If you be patient and meek with your elders, we can be patient and meek with you. Amen. But you're going to have to be patient with us also. That's what it's going to take. He says, be patient with all mankind. Love all mankind. That works this way too, just as much as it works that way. Amen. So you're going to have to do that with us. And I believe that's what instructions Timothy got. Timothy, you're going to have to be patient with some people.
Come on, man.
You're going to have to be patient. I have to treat each one of my sons a little bit different. Not in favoritism, but each of them got a little bit of different personality and character. And you got to, sometimes you got some of them, you're going to have to put the hammer on them. Sometimes if you did it that way, I mean, they'd fall all to pieces. It's just the way it is. No, I don't have no girls to tell you what girls are like, but I'm sure it's the same way. Amen? I didn't get no amens out of nobody. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. You still with me? Amen? Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to have to hurry here. I'm moving slow. I thank you for your patience. Praise God. Glory to God. So he tells them here, flee those things, flee those riches, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. And then in verse 12, he tells them, Timothy, fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Nowhere in Scripture does it tell us, take it easy. Nowhere in Scripture tells us that this is going to be a picnic. Yeah. Or this is just going to be a summer afternoon of you getting together and playing softball with some buddies and stuff. No, this is going to be a warfare, Timothy. Yeah. Throughout Scripture, he tells them, fight, fight, fight. Yeah. This is a warfare. Satan is after your soul. Satan is going to try to destroy you. Yeah. Satan wants to stop the church. You're going to have to fight. Fight! All that's within you. Fight! We sing that song, you know, about being a soldier in God's army, you know, and fighting and stuff. And this is what it's going to take. It's going to take us going forth and fighting, having that mindset, that mentality that I am in a battle. I'm in a warfare and Satan wants to destroy me and I've got to fight. No time in war and you have time to relax. No time in war can you take it easy. No time in war can you go and snuggle up with the enemy. No time in this battle can you take it easy, church. No time in this warfare can you snuggle up with the world. No, you got to realize he is our enemy and you got to fight, 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 church. Amen. This is a battle you're in. And he instructs Timothy to fight. We take it so easy. We take it so lightly. Our soul is at stake here. Our church is at stake here. Souls are dying on their way to hell. We've got a lot going on. We've got to fight, church. And he tells them to fight. Fight with all that's within you, Timothy. Fight. And he talks about it. He says, fight the good fight. It's a good fight that you're fighting, Timothy. It's something worth fighting for, in other words. It's a good fight. It's something worth fighting for, church. This battle you're in, it's worth laying down every weight and sin that hinders you so you can fight, so you can take up your battle garment, so you can put on all the shield and everything that you can fight, church.
Amen.
Why is it a good fight? You know, there's a lot of wars that go on. And you wonder, was it worth it? You know, we had a lot of killing and stuff with Iraq and Iran and all that battles that we went through. People talking, kind of before my time, but people talk about the Vietnam War and how is this a political war? And a lot of those things. You wonder, was it really worth the slaughter of thousands of men? You wonder that. Men come back with missing arms and legs. And a lot of them don't have anything below the waist and stuff. And you wonder, what were we fighting for? But this is a good fight. We know what we're fighting for here, church. If you don't know what you're fighting for, you need to get your head out of the sand and get a hold of God. You're talking about eternity here. You're talking about the powers of darkness coming against you. This is a good fight.
It's a good fight.
It's worth fighting for. It's a good fight because we're fighting for God. We're fighting for truth. We're fighting for salvation. We're fighting for these things. It's a good fight because we've got a good captain. We're not fighting. Our leader is not a Hitler, a tyrant. We're fighting with God, with Jesus Christ, who loves us.
Hallelujah.
We're fighting for a captain that already gave himself for us.
Amen.
Already gave himself for us. And then he tells us, I will never leave you or forsake you. This is a good fight you're in. And it's a good fight because of the results. Eternal life. We're fighting for eternal life. We're not fighting for a piece of land. We're not fighting to have authority over a group of people. We're fighting for eternal life. This is something worth fighting for, church. This is worth getting up and crying out to God every morning. This is worth sitting time in prayer and fasting. This is worth everything that you have to give up because it's a good fight. It's a good result, church. It's worth fighting for. I know, I like things of studies of Civil War and things along those lines. I know that bores a lot of people. I like to go to Civil War battlefields and just the history of it. I just enjoy those things. I know a lot of people don't, but I don't know. For some reason, it does me. And we've been to several times on vacations, gone to different battlefields. I watched a lot of documentaries on battles and Civil War battles and different things and read different things. And I just enjoy that. And I remember we went up to Fredericksburg 1 year or so ago. And we went to the battle that took place there in Fredericksburg where the North came in and took over the city, Fredericksburg. Kind of ransacked it. But the South had away from the city a little ways. They were pressed in there. They were locked in behind a stone wall. And for the North to get to them, those soldiers had to go up a hill. And we went and we saw that stone wall, saw that hill. Just interesting to me. And watching documentaries on and stuff, it's amazing to me that the bravery of these men that go up and they go up these and they engage in these battles and they have to go up these hills. South locked in behind a stone wall. I mean, they're just putting the lead to them. And these men are just, they keep going. They just keep going. And the first regiments that have to go up, I mean, they're destroyed. But the men just keep going. The flag, the guy carrying the flag, he's shot down. Somebody picks that flag up, goes on. I thought, man, you're talking about bravery. That's bravery, I mean. You see that. All I can do is imagine it. And I was praying, I was thinking about it a little bit. I said, why, how could they do that? Because they knew what they was fighting for was worth it. They knew it was worth it. They knew that they was doing the right thing. We go up to Gettysburg. And it's kind of the same situation, but it's opposite. The North is up on the ridge. And, they had the advantage. They're behind a stone wall also. They're on the high ground. We got the South. They're in the woods. And, praise God, I forgot his name. All I can think is Pritchett. That's not right. Help me. Pickett Brigade. It's March. Thank you. And thousands of men, again, are going up. They come out of those woods. First the South tries to just tear them apart with their cannons and stuff in the North and try to do that. And then all of a sudden, there's thousands of men come out of these woods. I'm marching. Have to go a mile, so almost a mile, through an open field. Up to the ridge. And the cannons are coming down. Cannonballs are coming down those men. Blowing them apart. Blowing them to pieces. And they tell us, you know, in history, just tell us that 50% casualty before they even got to the ridge to fight. A lot of them were killed by cannons and mortars and things while they was going up that. I mean, you think about it. Didn't seem like they used much strategy in those wars, but anyhow, they just kind of bungled up and went. Yeah. You know? But a cannonball would land in the midst of a group of men, just shatter them. Arms and legs go to pieces. And guys would just go right back, tighten the line, and they'd go right on. Bravery. And same thing. They were doing it for the cause. They were determined, church, that they were fighting for the right thing. They had that determination. These men right next to them are blown to pieces. And they just keep going right on. And keep going right on. Because they was determined, church, that they were doing the right thing. But how many times, church, you have to forgive me, I'm giving out. How many times a little something happens to us and we give up? We give up. A little offense, a little something said, a little something takes place and we give up. We quit. We run. We run back to the woods. Those men didn't run back down that hill. They kept going. They picked up the flag. And they kept going. And they kept going. Until they were literally engaged with the enemy. And had a bayonet and just one-on-one fight with the enemy. They didn't give up. Until their blood was spread out on the ground. And how many times we see people today giving up, church. Giving up. Over something simple. Something it could be worked out. And we're giving up. I'm not saying these things to be mean. I'm just telling you the truth. Don't give up. Don't give up. If I'm stepping on your doormats, just listen. You say, they offended me. I didn't like them. I can't go and worship with them. I've been there. I've had it happen to me. But I'm still here. I didn't give up. I had to get over it. I had to get over it. I believe every one of you probably said, I've been there. I've been there. I can't go worship with that person after what they said to me. I'm telling you how much more you need to go to church and worship and make it right with them. Because you're in a battle. You're in a warfare. Timothy, fight. Fight. Now there's going to be soldiers that are going to retreat. There are going to be soldiers that are going to run. There are going to be soldiers that are going to quit. Yes, I understand that. But pick up the flag and keep fighting. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep that warfare mentality. Keep going. We're too close to the end. To stop. Satan wants to destroy us. Fight. 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 I'm telling you, if my marriage was in chaos, I would fight for it. I'd do everything I can to save it. If my soul was in chaos and was on the lines, I would fight for it. I would do everything I could to save it. If I had to go and get on my knees before somebody and say, forgive me, I would do it. I got to make heaven. I believe the cause is worth it. And I can't quit. I got to fight this good fight, church. I got eternal life here at stake. Praise God. You say, I don't like what you're saying. Just think about it. Chew on it a little bit. Amen. Fight. Fight. There is no place in the Scripture that God tells us that the cross is going to be easy. There's no place in the Scripture that God says the road is always going to be smooth. There's no place in the Scripture He tells us those things. But He gives us promise after promise. They were read this evening in our opening Scriptures. God will take us. He'll help us. He'll see us through. He will make a way. He will give us that eternal life. And we'll fight. But if you lay down your weapon and quit, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. So fight. Keep on the firing line, church. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. We're familiar with this passage. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. He tells us. He gives us a whole list of armor. You're familiar with it. I don't know if you've ever noticed verse 16. He says, above all. Above all. I believe this is the most important thing here. Above all, take the shield of faith. Wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts. Above all, take the shield of faith. And this is something Paul tells Timothy again in the passage that I read. He tells us, he gives to us in verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. Fight the good fight of faith. This is a fight of faith, church. Satan wants to destroy our faith. He wants to stop you from trusting God. And we got to keep fighting against these things. Fight. There's times Satan comes in, he brings doubts, brings fear. And you got to fight against that, church. You got to fight against those things. You got to keep praying. You got to keep pressing on. You got to fight the good fight of faith. I have to do it. You've got to do it. There's times, a lot of times, Satan will tell me things. And I have to rebuke him. I have to fight against that. Now, Satan don't ever do that to you. I want to know what your secret is. I would like to know. Meet me after church and please tell me. Because I would like to know. I believe we all have that.
Amen.
These last 2 days, for some reason in my body, I just felt, I have not felt good. And just weaker than normal. Just give out, tired. I feel like I could sleep all day long. If I could, and if I could just go to sleep. The first thing Satan comes in, he wants to give you doubt. He wants to give you doubt. First thing he wants to tell me, well, your leukemia has already come back. And I have to fight against that. I said, no. I rebuke you. First thing, Satan, you don't have authority to do that. That's not your place or authority to do that. So I have to fight against those things. I defy. I know what the doctor tells you. The doctor says 90%. 90% chance it's going to come back. And when it comes back, we're not going to be able to stop it like we did this time. I fight against that.
Right.
I tell the devil, no. I have to fight against those things. You got to fight against things. He comes to you in your mind. I have to stop that. I have to fight. I just don't lay down and say, well, then that's the way it's going to be. Say, no, I fight against it. I fight against those things. I know one thing, when the odds are against you, that's when God works. And I tell the devil that. Fight. Fight. It's a fight of faith. He wants to destroy your faith. Had a minister call me several weeks ago. And he said, I was out mowing the grass. I was just talking to the Lord. Praying for you. And he called me coming and said, God spoke to me and said, this is a fight of faith. Don't let go. And I'm saying the same thing to you. This is a fight of faith.
Amen.
For you.
Amen.
And for your situation.
Amen.
Don't let go.
Amen.
Fight.
Right.
Doesn't matter if the soldier next to you falls. Pick up the flag and keep going.
Right.
Fight.
Right.
It's a good fight. It's a worthy cause. And it's a great reward for finishing the course.
Thank you, Lord.
I want to share some things with you. And I say these with all humility. Please don't take me wrong. This is something God's laid on my heart for this church. You know, one thing about not being able to do physical things, it's giving me more time to be able to pray, talk to God.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And God talks to us when we talk to Him.
Right.
And I spent a lot of times in this floor of this church praying, just asking God, what do you want us to do with this? Where are we going with this situation of mine?
And I'm not bragging. Please don't take me wrong. I believe with all this 100% surety, God spoke to my heart and said, this is not just your sickness. This church has leukemia. I'm carrying it. But it's going to be a fight of your faith too.
Yes. That's right.
And God wants to build your faith.
Amen.
Just as much as He wants to build my faith. God spoke to me that with all 100% of it. He wants to do a work in you. He wants to build your faith also. He wants great and mighty things to take place in this church. But it's a fight of faith. Some of you already doubting whether it can take place. Some of you already doubting about a harvest coming. Some of you already doubting about the sick and the lame and the prostitutes and all these being healed. You've already doubted. You've lost in the battle. It's a fight of faith. When you lay your hands on me and pray for me, it's your faith. It's not my faith. When I pray, I got that faith, but I'm not feeding off of your faith, or you're feeding off my faith. It's your faith.
Right.
When you come and lay hands on me, you can't feed off my faith.
Right.
You got to pray in faith.
Amen.
You got to pray in faith. If this thing does take me out, I hope nobody says, well, he just didn't have faith. Because this is a church situation. That's what God spoke to me.
Amen.
This is a church situation. God wants to build your faith.
Yes.
God wants you to fight
right.
in this warfare. And I'm not just saying those things because I'm the one that's sick. This is what God spoke to me. There's going to be more problems come, church. There's going to be some more things take place. There's going to be some more battles you're going to have the prayer of faith in. There's going to be a lot of more warfare ahead of us if Jesus tarries. And you're going to have to fight the fight of faith.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise God.
Glory to God, glory to God.
I appreciate what Sister said about wanting to see. What she said, unusual things. Strange things,
yes.
I understand what she's saying. It would be strange things for today. But it's realistic in God's words.
Right. Amen.
It was normal things
right.
in God's words, church.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
And God wants to see those things happen.
Right.
And I tell the devil, no. It's not your decision.
That's right.
Whether it takes me or not.
Oh.
I believe the doctors, I mean what they say, they take an educated situation and I fine. I don't doubt that. But I know God has the final say so. God has the final say so. And we got to fight the fight of faith, church. It's going to take more than just our little bit of prayers here and there. It's going to take a warfare mentality. It's going to take a warfare mindset. Every day I got to rise up. I'm in a battle of faith here.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I've been praying for 17 days. God, deliver me of the pain in my feet. They're still there. But I'm going to rise up tomorrow if it's there. And I'm going to fight the fight of faith. And I'll pray again. And I'll pray the next day. Why? Because I am in a warfare. I am in a battle. You're in a battle, church. And you've got to fight this fight of faith. I look back, church. Please don't take me wrong again. Just chew on it a little bit. I look back when I don't know who was first, if it was Sister Lynn or Sister Woods got sick first, but I look back when they were sick. Our sister with cancer, breast cancer. Sister Woods with the, I don't know exactly what it's called, but the heart fluttering and things. And times, day after day, she went through that. You may not like this, but I look back at those times. Say, God, we failed. We failed as a church. God spoke to me this too, church. Please bear with me. Why did we fail? We gave the meals. We gave the cards. We did those things. And those things are important. Those things are necessary. I appreciate every card that was given to me, every meal that somebody fixed for me and my family. I appreciate every visit somebody's come. Praise God. And you still can come and visit me. Leukemia is not contagious. You won't catch it. Amen. You can come and see me, man. Come pray, praise God, in the evenings. Amen. Tell me you're coming. My wife might fix us a dessert. Put some coffee on, whatever you like to drink. Amen. We'll have some fellowship. Amen. It'll be good. Praise God. We did all those things, church. But we failed. And I failed as a minister, as a pastor. I failed for us to bind together as a church and get a hold of God. Now, some of you weren't here. I understand that. If I look back on those times that this church should have done like the early church did when Peter was in prison. And the Bible says, and the church prayed. We should have called some prayer meetings. We should have called some times of fasting. Prolonged fasting. Some times of prayer. There's nothing wrong if we prayed all night, church. That's how revival breaks out across this land different times. Because some men met in a barn or a garage or in a field and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And conviction fell. I looked, I said, God, forgive me. I was a leader then. I said, God, forgive me. I failed then. I failed. I should have instructed the church to go that way. And I didn't do it. So I take the ball of the blame. But God's getting us there, church. He's getting us there. And this is where God wants to take us, church. That we get a hold of God. Not just because it's me. Because of your situation that you may be facing next. Or whatever. The church. Peter, when he was in prison, more than likely, if he wouldn't have got out that night, more than likely he would have been killed the next day. They probably would have beheaded him or stoned him or something. But the church prayed. The church prayed. And that's what God wants us to do today. He wants the church to pray. He wants the church to seek God. He'll give us a harvest. He promised all these things He's given us. But He wants us to seek Him. And if it doesn't happen tomorrow, we'll go back and we'll pray again.
Yes, amen.
That's not a lack of faith. That's fighting our faith for our faith.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
That's fighting for our faith, church.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I said, God, thank you for teaching us that.
Yes. Amen.
Thank you, God, for revealing that to us. Because we're going to pray. I believe you're going to pray. I believe you're going to get a hold of God. And when you're in the valley, we're going to get a hold of God for you. And when you're at whatever you may be situation, we're going to bind together. We're going to call this church to pray. If we get church so busy that we can't do that, we've missed it. If we're so busy with our own things that we can't come and spend a night in prayer, an evening in prayer, or whatever, a time of fasting, wherever God leads us, we've missed the cost.
Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Now I hope you just think about what I'm saying, not get mad.
Come on.
God is going to do great things for us. But it's going to take a fight. You are in a battle. You think Satan's just going to sit down and let him have miracles take place and souls be saved? We got to get this church that where sinners come in, that they're under conviction so much, they can't stand it, church. You say that's impossible. It happened years ago. Why can't it happen today? I'm not on some emotional roller coaster. I believe I'm telling you the truth this evening. It's going to take something. Now what you got to determine is, in your hearts, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Is it worth making that sacrifice to climb that hill and to be shot down knowing you could die? Those men had to make up their mind on that. And they had to determine it's worth it. And I'm telling you, if we'll ever get to that point, church, that we'll determine in our hearts this is worth it. To see the power of God fall. To see demons cast out. If we'll ever settle that in our heart, that it's worth this fight, we'll come every time, we'll pour our heart out before God, and we'll fight this good fight of faith. Because we have determined it's worth it. It's worth it. But if you're just looking for the norm, if you're just looking for what the rest of the churches are doing, just come, pay your tithes, pray over your meal. Thank you, God, for keeping me when I go to bed. That's all you're going to get out of it. That's all you'll get. I'm not content with that. I'm not content with that.
Hallelujah.
Timothy, fight.
Hallelujah.
Timothy, fight. Hallelujah. Fight the good fight of faith.
Amen.
Satan wants to destroy your faith. You already say, I don't believe it can happen. Satan's already destroying your faith. I'm not talking about some fairy tales here. I'm talking about things that can really take place when the church binds together and prays.
Amen.
Stand with me this evening. That's all I can say. Amen. Praise God. I hope. Praise God. I hope you just listen to what I've said. Take it. I'm not on an emotional roller coaster because I'm sick. Please don't think that. I laid in that floor right there and God spoke this to me. This church has leukemia. This church needs a miracle. It's not just me that needs it, church. This church needs a miracle. And if for some reason God chooses to take me out, if it's my appointed time, and I'm not saying that because it's me, but it's going to be your loss. Not because I'm great. You'll get another elder, and this church better go on. But I am a part of this body. And it might be just a little toe. But when that little toe is missing, it's going to affect this body. We need to pray. Do you believe what I said tonight? Do you want it? Are you willing to fight the good fight of faith? It's worth it, church. It's worth it. Will you come and pray and ask God to help us tonight? God, to give us this kind of heart. Just come pray. Come and spend some time in prayer this evening. God, help me. Help us, Lord, to fight.